Hello, and thank you for listening to the third, fourth, and fifth grade training. Today I'm going to train you on a lesson plan on how to do a third, fourth, or fifth grade lesson plan. Whether you're a leader or an assistant in a class, this training is for you. So below this recording that you're listening to, there is a button where you can click and it'll open up a lesson plan. It is a sample lesson plan from June 12th, and it says fourth and fifth grade on it. But the third, fourth, and fifth grade lessons are all identical. It's just that we don't fit all the kids in one class, so we separate the third graders from the fourth and fifth graders. But the lessons are the same. So whatever class you're teaching, this is what will be the content. Like, it'll look like this for every class. So as you're clicking that, opening that, and following along, before we begin, I'm going to go over a couple things with you. The first is how to prepare, and the second is sort of their age level characteristics, where they're at as third, fourth, and fifth graders, what you can expect of them. So the first is how to prepare for Sunday. If you want to have a better chance at managing your class, if you want to make sure your kids are focused and not distracted or misbehaving, the most important thing you can do in advance is prepare. In the same way that you would never expect a pastor to preach on a Sunday without preparing first, you are held to the same standard. You are expected to prepare before you teach children the Bible on a Sunday. So please go online to rvtakids.com before you serve. That is the website you're currently on. In the top right corner, there is like a menu, and you can choose today under current volunteers, you can choose the current lesson plan that you would be serving at. And there you can find the lesson video along with like a leader study guide and all the different lessons for all the different age groups, including yours. So that's where you're going to find your lesson plans at before you serve on a Sunday. So please do that. The second thing before we begin and dive into the lesson plan itself is just age level characteristics of third, fourth, and fifth graders. They are exactly who they're supposed to be right now because God created them to be that way. They're not preschoolers, but they're also not junior hires. They're third, fourth, and fifth graders. And so we design the curriculum to be in a way that actually meets them where they're at right now developmentally. So let's go over where they're at actually. So spiritually, it's important to know that God's story inspires their story. It's sort of like separate from their story. God's story is separate from their story, but it inspires their story. So we help mature their relationships with God by telling one story and connecting it to one concrete idea. We don't teach a lot of different stories on a Sunday and then connect it to a whole bunch of different like applications that go with it. It's one story, one concrete idea, using real illustrations to what they experience every day and making it fun to remember. So we make them fun, we connect it to everyday experiences, and we keep it simple. The second thing, so that's where they're at spiritually. The second thing is communication. At this age, everything sounds fun. Their main goal in life is to have fun, which is awesome because that means we get to meet them right there where they're at. We get to have fun with kids. We get to figure out how to bring fun into their lives. How we act, how we move, how we behave, how we speak needs to be fun in order for them to engage. But for fourth and fifth graders also, they're sort of at the stage where they're like, I've got this. Like, I got it, you know? So we're also having a lot of grace and patience for them in this season because they're kind of at the stage where they feel bigger than they actually are. And they're like ready for junior high, but they're not allowed to go to junior high yet. So we just try to like bring a lot of fun into this season for them and help meet them at this spot where they're like, I'm ready to not be a little kid anymore. I'm ready to be like a preteen. Emotionally, when we praise them, their confidence broadens. And this is super duper important. When we introduce and include peers, friendships develop. If they don't have a friend, then they don't feel safe. If they don't have a friend, if they're not connecting with anyone, they are closed off, which makes our job of teaching them the gospel and pointing them to Jesus super hard. If they don't feel safe, they will not open up and listen as well. So we want to make sure that we're developing, helping them develop friends, and we're like helping, encouraging them and praising them for tricks that they do and things that they do, because that will help them, help meet them exactly where they're at emotionally right now. They like actually need that. And then lastly, intellectually, we must provide concrete evidence they can test repeatedly, connecting new concepts to everyday experiences. So this means that when we teach them the Bible, when we teach them about Jesus, we need to actually connect it to real life examples. So again, that shows the importance of preparing in advance, because you guys can be thinking about, okay, how does this story apply to our lives, and how can I share an example of how I've seen it play out in the real world? Or how could this actually play out in their life right now, where they're at, whether that be at home or at school or wherever. So yeah, that's where your kids are at intellectually. They're wanting to have fun. They want friends, and they like to see concrete evidence to things, which is cool. Okay, so now let's jump in to our lesson plan. Again, this is a fourth and fifth grade lesson plan, but the third grade lesson plan is exactly the same. The first thing you're going to see is the cover page. Again, it says whose lesson plan it is. It has a picture that goes with today's lesson. It has the date. This is from June 12th. And it has the title, Letters to Church Leaders is the title. It also has where it's found, the story is found in the Bible, generally speaking. It's not the exact verses, but generally what you're going to find it. And then also the main story point. This is Paul told church leaders to trust and obey God. Just take note, the story point is not how the story points to the gospel, but it is kind of like what the story is about for the day. Later on, though, we will be taking the story and explaining to the kids how it points to Jesus and the good news of him coming and dying on the cross. And then below all that, you have the first service schedule and the second service schedule. They are identical. The activities are identical. The time frames are identical. It's just that one is first service and one is second. Okay, so second page, check-ins. So as kids are coming in, welcome families and receive kids as they arrive. Start connecting with them. Whether you're an assistant or you're a leader, like, start playing games. We've got lots of games in the classroom. We've got Legos in the classroom. We've got clipboards with just like plain paper so that they can draw. And there's also activity pages. So there are things to do, and there's also foosball tables. There are things to do so that your kids can start making friends. Try to help those that look like they don't have a friend. Help introduce them to people and connect with them yourself. Because again, if they don't have a friend, then they're not going to hear and connect with what's being taught. It's going to be a lot more challenging. So as the parents are dropping them off, signing in their kids, remind the parents that the child's safety is our highest priority. So if we need them first of all, when they pick up their child, to have their security label at pickup so that we can make sure they're going home with the right adult. And if their child needs them before the end of the service, we will text them. Now, usually you would think, oh, that's just for the little kids, but this is also very much so for the older kids. Sometimes injuries happen. Sometimes there's a little bit of roughhousing, even though we try not to do that. Things happen. Somebody might feel unwell. Somebody might have a behavioral issue. If that's the case, we need to be able to text the parents and have the parents come. So please remind them that we will text them if we need them, so to please keep their cell phones out. And again, you're going to play with the kids as they're arriving, and as the about 5 minutes, well, then after they're done with this time frame, so after the first like 10 minutes of 5 to 10 minutes of being in class, or 20 minutes, I'm sorry, then they are going to clean up. And we're going to have snacks and do lollipops and lemons / prayer requests. So what is this? Well, for snack, you guys are going to have your kids work together to pass out the goldfish for snack, or checks for those who are gluten and dairy free. a cup of water, a napkin if they need it, and encourage them not to eat until after they have prayed. So everything's being passed up and nobody's eating. Then you can add, you could either pray for the snack or you can ask a kid to pray for the food. And then as you guys are eating your snack, you guys are going to do something called lollipops and lemons. This is the conversation during snack. While they're eating, you're going to ask if anyone had any lollipops from the week, which are good things that happened, or lemons from the week, which are bad things that happened. If a child shares a lollipop, you're going to model immediately thanking God through a quick one to two sentence prayer for that lollipop. So say that somebody got to go to Disneyland. Lord, thank you so much they got to Disneyland. It's so sweet they were able to connect with their family that way. That would be like a lollipop. But then say somebody had a lemon or something bad that happened. This can be pretty gnarly, especially for third, fourth, and fifth graders at times. So immediately, like right after they share a lemon, ask if someone would like to pray for their friend's lemon. And then that child can, somebody can volunteer. I really encourage you to wait 7 seconds before offering to pray yourself, because it takes 7 seconds for an introvert to formulate an answer or a response. So that'll give every child a chance to have a chance to pray. If nobody volunteers to pray for the lemon, then be like, okay, I'll do it. And then you just model it for them. You give a 1 to 2 sentence prayer for their lemon. And you do that with all the kids, all the lollipops and all the lemons as they're eating their snack. So why do we do this? If you know, read the note, it says, this gives time gives kids a chance to learn that praying for someone is easy and doesn't have to sound fancy. There's power in their prayers too. You got to remember that these are kids and they're baby believers. And if they go to church and they hear these big, long prayers, they'll feel like, oh, I can never do that. But they can, and there's power in their prayers also. So we want to create a space where they're actually practicing this every Sunday. Finally, at the end of snack, if nobody has any more lollipops and lemons, you could also be like, well, does anybody have any prayer requests just in general? And this is also really good because then you can say, oh, who would like to pray for their prayer request? And they could immediately pray for their friend's prayer request. So sometimes saying prayer request is more effective than saying a high or a low or a lollipop or a lemon. So it's just the goal is for them to learn that they can pray for people in the moment and it's not scary. And then when they're done, you guys are going to clean up, line up, and you guys are going to play a game. So not line up and then play a game. You're going to clean up and then you guys are going to play a game. So in your classroom, there is a folder that says the Quick Start Game Guide. In that Quick Start Game Guide are a list of games that you can play with clear instructions. Some of those have super minimal prep involved, that it'd be like super easy to throw together on a Sunday morning. So you get to decide which game you want to lead the kids, and then like either the leader or the assistant, like the leader can like ask an assistant to lead a specific game if they want, but ultimately the leader is in charge. And together you guys are going to play a game. The reason why we do a game before we jump into story or anything, it's kind of not typical for churches, but the reason why we do it is because, again, if kids don't have a friend, then they are, it's going to be harder for them to receive. So the first thing we want to do with them is play with them. If they didn't make a friend during free time, if they didn't make a friend during lollipops and lemons, this is one more opportunity for them to make a friend before we actually dig into the content for the day. So again, there's a folder in the classroom that has these quick start, has the quick start game guide. If you want to look at these lessons, these games in advance, they are under the lesson plans found here on the website where we spoke about earlier. So you can find all these games here on the website. Okay, after the game, you guys are going to work on some Bible skills. So in the bold, the very first thing you're going to see is a scripture. This one is 2 Timothy 4:1 is in bold, and then it says 2:8. And then Titus 3:1, and then not bolded, is 1 through 8. So you guys are going to, you have a class set of Bibles in your classroom. You are going to help the kids find the scripture in bold and then have them mark it with a ribbon bookmark that's connected to the Bible. So they're going to mark their spot. To encourage those who are new to class, okay, this is the thing. These kids are starting out. Some of these kids don't even own Bibles. Some of these kids have never opened a Bible in their entire life. So you are going to very patiently and very graciously help them find the scripture. Please do not make this a competition. I beg you, please do not make this a competition unless you know for sure that all of your kids in your class have mastered this skill. That if you made this a competition, that's a real fast way to shut down progress that you've made with connecting with the kids. So please don't make it, if at all possible, unless you're absolutely sure that they know how to do this, don't make it a game. Slowly help them find the verse. That means, okay, just a reminder, there's a New Testament and there's an Old Testament. The Old Testament's at the start of the Bible and the New Testament is about 3/4 of the way in. Okay, and then each Testament is broken up into books. And then those books have chapters and then they have verses. So let's go to the table of contents and let's look for 2 Timothy. Okay, there it is. Look, it's in the New Testament. Okay, let's see, what page is that on? Okay, everybody, let's turn to that page. And you turn to the page together. Okay, so it's 2 Timothy chapter 4. So you understand what I'm saying is like, really break it down for them because these kids are just starting out. They know very little. And our joy and our honor is to actually get to teach these kids how to find a scripture in the Bible on their own. As the years have gone by, they'll probably, as they get older, so like by the time they're in 5th grade, they'll probably be a lot more comfortable. But those 3rd graders, they don't know what they're doing. So please, if you're in a 3rd grade class, please have a lot of grace and patience with these kids. If you have time, if everybody found their spot, you guys can read these scriptures together. You can do popcorn reading, or that like don't ever force a kid to read if they're not comfortable, because that can be really hard. Our job is not to teach them how to read. Our job is to point them to Jesus. So if they don't want to read, don't force them to read. Okay, so then they are going to gather up their Bibles, keep their pages marked. They're going to line up, and they're going to go to large group. You might remember during our during your interview that I mentioned that there is elementary does something called a small group, large group style kids ministry. So when they're in the classroom, it's small group. When they're in the worship room, they are in large group. They're combining with the other class. So all the 3rd, 4th, and 5th graders are going to combine together in the worship room. And in that room, there are going to be 2 to 3 volunteers. There's going to be a large group leader who's going to teach the story, so you're not responsible for teaching the story. There's going to be the worship leader, so you're not responsible for leading worship, the worship leader is. And there might be an AV person in there to help guide the media that goes along with it. It's a very media-driven time. And they are going to lead your kids through the story and through worship. Now, I'm not going to get into the details of all of that here because you're not responsible for that portion, but I am going to tell you right now what you are responsible for during large group. So the first thing is volunteers. Please remember to sit in the middle with your kids, and chairs are available if needed. Please do not stand up and off to the sides because that is very disengaged body language. We want your body language to be engaged so that the kids, you're modeling for the kids what is appropriate behavior in order to engage. So please be sitting with them in the middle. And if you need to sit on a chair, we have chairs available in there. Also, volunteers, please remember to encourage the kiddos to participate by using encouraging words, facial expressions, and modeling how to engage. So singing, dancing, listening, sitting down, etc. If you're on your phone scrolling, which you shouldn't be because there is a no cell phone policy that we have, if you are on your phone scrolling, if you're disengaged, then you're modeling for the kids. This is not important, but that is the absolute furthest thing from the truth. This is a very important time. So when the kids are singing, sing. When it's hand motions, do the hand motions. When they're listening, like, you listen also. When they're sitting down, sit down. When they're standing up, stand up. Everything they do, we want you to model for them as well. And then finally, you are primarily responsible for your class still. So not the large group leader or worship leaders. If your kids are talking or distracting their neighbors, please encourage them to engage in the worship and the story time. And you can refer back to the discipline policy found in the policies and procedures to help you remember how to properly correct kids in kids ministry. Okay, so after large group, you're going to go back to class and have small group. And you guys are going to go over the same four questions every single week. This never, ever, ever changes. So it's really easy for you to prepare. The first question is, what did you like about today's story? What's great about this question is whether you know all the Bible trivia in the world or you've never heard the name of Jesus or stepped foot inside of a church before, you can answer this question. What did you like about today's story? So again, we're maintaining that connection with the kids. The second thing is, what did you find confusing about this story? Was there anything that didn't make sense? And help discuss that with them. If you know the answer, great. If you don't, that's okay. You can say, I'm going to look it up and get back to you later. That works. And what's great about this question is that it shows kids that it's okay to be confused and to not know the answers to everything and to have questions. Sometimes people feel like you have to know the answer to everything, but that's simply not true. It's okay if you don't understand something. The third question is, what do we learn about people? Every story has all sorts of different types of people in it, and we are people. So what do we learn about people? And fourthly, and most important, what do we learn about God, or what do we learn about Jesus? Allow the kids to talk. These are four questions that they can get answers to, but they're really great starting questions to then lead into further discussion. So this is a very Holy Spirit-led time, and it is something that you can feel like you need to like rush through, but I would say slow down and listen to the Holy Spirit and trust His leading in this time. Maybe He'll pop in another question into your mind that'll help kids process what they just learned a little bit further. But ultimately, if you feel like that's really hard, you can stick to these four questions and just follow them as a guide. So for that last one, what did we learn about Jesus? We want to make sure that we land on this Christ connection. This is how the story points to the gospel. This is where the gospel comes in. So every story in the Bible always points to Jesus and Him dying on the cross and rescuing us. Every single story. And so every single week, we want to make sure that we are finding that connection and giving opportunity for the gospel story to be told. So it'll happen to a degree in the worship room, but it can also happen to a degree here in the classroom. So today, this story is Paul wrote to guide Timothy and Titus and to help all church leaders know how to lead God's people. Church leaders help believers know what is true, and they serve the church by following the example of Jesus, who served us by dying on the cross for our sins. And so that's sort of where you want to land the plane, which leads me back to the importance of preparation. You want to make sure, remember, they need concrete examples. They need like concrete evidence. They need help connecting the dots. And so, and they want that. They're craving that. So it's important for you to study this lesson ahead of time. See the Christ connection and maybe even come up with your own personal examples so that as you're leading these kids through this four questions, you have a couple stops along the way where you can like add to their discussion time. And then finally, church is almost over if it's not over already. So this is free time until checkout. So as kids are getting picked up, check each security label. If they lost their label, come find the coordinator who will help verify the guardian. And I mentioned at the beginning, there are activity pages that kids can play with and do at the beginning of service during their free time as they're getting checked in. As kids are leaving, whether they did an activity page or not, send every single kid home with an activity page, please. Just a reminder that we are partnering with parents, and parents are called to be the primary disciple makers in their child's life. And so to help partner with them, these activity pages have activities for parents to do with kids during the week to further reinforce and teach these week's lessons. So it's a great tool for parents if they don't really know where to even begin. So even if they use them or not, whatever they do with them once they leave the classroom, that's on them, but it's important for us to at least be giving the opportunity. So that is that. That is the end of our lesson plan. After the kids get all picked up, you can then clean your classroom, and there's a separate training for that, so be sure to listen to it. And then you're good to go for the day. Thank you again so much for listening. And if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can contact me, Anna, and I would be happy to answer any questions you have. Thanks again.